Now, we all know that the way that we look at the world changes everything about us. When I was in the US back in May, I spent a couple of days visiting the Great Smoky Mountains National Park in eastern Tennessee. And it's the most popular of the national parks, receiving millions of visitors every year. And so, like all those millions of visitors, I first headed to the information center. And it's in a beautiful valley surrounded by really well-kept parklands. But because of the fact that there are so many visitors, all bringing all of their various bits and pieces and unfortunately leaving behind lots of garbage, there is a real requirement to keep the area clean. And so I spent a few minutes watching one of the groundskeepers, you know, walking along with one of those poles with the spiky ends, picking up the various pieces of garbage and putting them into a bag he was carrying. But it really struck me as he was, from a distance, I could hear him kind of grumbling and muttering along as he had his head down looking for the next piece of garbage. And it just looks like such a contrast in this place of such natural beauty for this poor man who had long since lost the ability to look up and experience the natural wonder of this place. All he could see was the garbage that was littering and ruining this place. And that's the case with so many of us, at least at times in our lives. You know, we forget to sometimes just look up, to look around and to see what wonders God has placed in our lives. All that we get obsessed with is these little bits of garbage, the rubbish that's strewn on the floor of the church or whatever it is. We forget to experience the grace, the gift of God. And that is what these parables are about. When Jesus asks these questions, you know, what man among you with 100 sheep losing one would not leave the 99 there in the wilderness? Well, the answer is no one. No one would worry about one sheep. They would look after the 99. Why would you forsake the one to risk the 99? It's just not a sensible decision to make. What woman among you losing one drachma from 10, one silver coin among 10? You know, of course, maybe you would go and sweep out the house. I can kind of connect and relate to this. When I was in the U.S., I brought back some U.S. dollars. And so when I was traveling to World Youth Day, they said, well, U.S. dollars would be very helpful to have in Argentina. And so I went hunting through my room to try and find where I'd left this currency to take with me. But for the life of me, I couldn't find it, and it was just so frustrating. And when I got back, I thought, oh, well, I'll just make sure that I can find this expletive money. And for the last month, I have been hunting through my room, thinking of all those places where, you know, those safe places that you put those kinds of things. And it was only finally this week that I managed to actually find it. Of course, in the place that was most obvious and logical and where I'd looked before, and there it was, along with, you know, euros and Swiss francs and all the other detritus of my various trips around the place. And the crazy thing was that never once did I then think, well, I should call together the whole parish and have a party because I found the American dollars that I'd lost. You know, that wasn't at once in my conception. You know, never did I imagine that. I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't even think of you guys for celebrating with me, but that was the craziness of the parable. Of course, no one would throw a party that is worth more than what you'd lost. You know, you just tell a few people, and dear Cheryl in the parish office had to put up with all my various stories as I, you know, related that I'd looked in this place and she was suggesting other places. And then we get, of course, to this most brilliant of all the stories that perhaps Jesus has ever told. Story of these two sons. And it's tempting at times to leave the parable where the first son is restored and to ignore completely the second son. You know, when you read some of the commentaries, there are some who are so uncomfortable with the second part of the story that they want to say, no, 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 that wasn't originally part of the story at all. It bites too closely to the bone, perhaps. It's too close to the reality of so many of our lives, this sense of obsession with duty rather than grace, because we really struggle to believe in a God that is that good. We struggle to believe in a gospel that is this free. You know, we want to stay with the older son. We want to say, no, he had every right to be upset. He had every right to be annoyed. How dare this younger son go and waste one third of all of the estate and then just come back and expect to be reconciled and restored? How dare they have a party and I'm not able to be part of it? How dare they experience all of this when, as the older son says, you know, I've worked and slaved and never once disobeyed you. But the truth is that all that the older son says is really a lie. All that the older son says is not the truth of the father. And do we get the image in this story of a father who is a hard taskmaster? No. We get the image of the father waiting expectantly, scanning the horizon, waiting for this son to come back so that he can celebrate, so that he can restore him, so that he can allow this young son who was lost to finally be restored. And yet, the older son often forms the perspective that so many of us carry. We, like that groundskeeper, are so obsessed with the garbage and the rubbish that is collected around our lives. That's often all that we can see. But the Lord will say, no, look up and enjoy this beautiful world that I've created. Look up and experience the party and the celebration and the extra notes that Steve O'Neill throws into the music at the beginning of Mass. Allow that to be the sign of God's goodness. Allow that to be a sign of all that God has prepared for us. Allow that to be the sign of God inviting us into the fullness of life. And so, Lord, as we gather as your people, as we celebrate the return of all those that were lost, as we acknowledge that we've been lost ourselves, either like the young son, lost in our excess, lost in a life that is out of focus and away from you, or lost like the older son, caught up in duty, caught up in the fulfillment of laws. Help us to come to the party. Help us to allow you to break through whatever barrier we put up in front of you. Help us to really be restored and renewed as your people. Help us to receive your forgiveness, your grace, to allow us to live life, to look up and experience the beauty of the world that you have created for us. Amen.